This week, I speak to Egyptian Jewish and Filipino author Sarah Diane Mueller about her latest book, Home in 100 Places. The book tells the story of her father who spied for Israel while in Egypt in the 1940s and early 50s, and is also a larger tale about building family and preserving Jewish memory. I'm Lev Gringaus, and welcome to The Jews Are Tired, your podcast about Jewish news. Before jumping in, if you like this podcast or Jewfolk generally and the work that we do, support us by buying our merch. A link to our Teespring store is available in the podcast notes, as well as just a link to donate if you want to give directly. We appreciate any support you can give. Now to Sarah Diane Mueller and her book, Home in 100 Places. A couple of things drew me to this book, which in fact I did buy and am in the process of reading. First of all, this is just a fascinating story, period, about the life of a Sephardic Egyptian Jewish spy and world traveler. Mueller's dad, Raymond, starts life in Haiti, grows up in Egypt, and then goes all over the place, eventually meeting Mueller's mom in Hong Kong and settling in New York City. Second of all, a lot of American Jews, being the Ashkenazim or European Jews that we are, don't know enough about Sephardic and Mizrahi Jews and the experience in North Africa and the Middle East. And if we do think we know something, our knowledge is most often colored through the lens of Israel. And here's a story where Israel is relevant, but also is kind of tangential to the main story of Raymond and his family and Egyptian Jews. So from just a knowledge and historical perspective standpoint, this is a fascinating book to dive into. And the last thing that made me want to read Home in 100 Places and interview Diane Mueller is that while she was writing the book, her dad had Alzheimer's and sadly died before the book was published. So this isn't just an incredible family story, it's also a book that felt really cathartic to read as a first-generation immigrant myself and as someone who, I lost my grandfather to dementia, so to take a step back and understand the scope of life and the effort to capture family history in a book like this felt really important, because so many of us immigrant kids are always trying to understand our place between where we are now and our family story, and how we get enough of it written down to give it in a cohesive way to the next generation, but also to ourselves. So I talked with Diane Mueller about all different aspects of this, from the process of writing the book and getting information out of her family, to how the book affected her Jewish identity and serves as a tribute to her father. If you find the book interesting, there's a link in the description where you can buy it. Our conversation has been edited for length and clarity. Enjoy. First question I'd like to start out with is, can you just say, like, why did you decide to write this book? What was the genesis of this project?
Yeah. So this project, because it's based on my dad's life, it's mostly true events that he experienced. It was something I wanted to write for a long time. You know, my family has always like encouraged me like, oh, you should write about your dad's life because it's so different. It's, you know, he had so many unique events going on. I just never got around to it before, but I knew that it would always be something that I wanted to write. So finally, I sat down and I said, you know what, now's the time to do it. So I, you know, in the beginning of COVID times, everybody was home a lot more. So I was home a lot more. And I said, okay, you know, I have a little bit extra time now. I'm going to start doing this project. So it's always been something that I wanted to write, just never found, you know, the time and to do it. But when I actually had the time to do it, I really, really got into the process of writing the story and stuff. So
I'm curious, because you write in the book how your dad kept a lot of his espionage work sort of a secret from the family. At what point did you find out about the story? Was this something sort of that was already open to you by the time sort of you were around and old enough to hear the story? Or was it a secret you still had to dig up from your dad?
Oh, I definitely had to dig it up a little bit. It was one of those things that like people in the family would always just mention here and there. But I guess the spy never really tells, right? So anytime anybody would bring it up, my dad would kind of, you know, just smile and like change the subject. So me personally, I was just really interested in that part of his life. So I would always ask a little bit more every time somebody would bring it up and dig a little deeper to see what he would tell me. And it took a little bit of time to get some of the information out from him. And I think I still never got like the full story either. But it was just something that I always heard of here and there. It was never anything that like, you know, my parents sat me down and told me about it. I would have to like go searching for some answers. But it was something that I thought was always pretty cool, you know, that I could ask my dad those kind of questions. And especially when I got older, he was able to tell me a little bit more about it.
And as you learned more, I mean, what was your reaction to sort of as you started to understand the scope of the story your dad was involved in? What went through your mind about all this?
Well, I think that he would kind of brush it off like it was no big deal, which is what he did with a lot of things in his life, too. Like, he didn't want to show how important certain things were. So I ended up doing some research about the espionage world during that time period in Egypt. So when I started putting two and two together, that's when I realized, you know, like what kind of role he played and or might have played. So it's definitely something that's like pretty interesting and special to me to know that he was part of something like that, even if he kind of downplayed it, you know, and never really wanted to tell me everything.
That seems like such a both sort of Jewish and generally immigrant thing to just like not want to like to try and shield your kids from what it was and the reality and sort of hiding all that. I'm also wondering, like, when you were poking your dad about these stories and sort of digging more with your family members, what was your like, I guess, recording process? Was it just, you know, you remembered this as the conversations were happening? Because I know, like, for me, what I've started doing with my grandmother is whenever a conversation gets into, like, what life was in the Soviet Union and sort of old stuff and, like, past immigrant things, I just set the recorder on my phone and have that audio recorder going. So I'm wondering if you had a process of, like, over time you got into, okay, I need to write this down, I need to, like, get this in a certain way, or if it just sort of naturally accrued in your mind.
I think a lot of it just stayed in my mind. Like as I heard stories from him or like other family members, I would just remember it. But then after a while, yeah, when I did get older, I realized how important these things were to like, you know, our family and the family's history. So I started writing things down. But I wish I kind of did what you did of like setting up the recorder and letting it go. That would be pretty awesome to have now. But yeah, when I got older, I started to write things down. And that's one of the reasons actually why I wrote this book, Home in 100 Places, because, you know, the book takes you on a journey of his life. And towards the end of it, he has Alzheimer's disease, unfortunately. So one of the main reasons why I started writing this book when I did is because he wasn't able to remember a lot anymore. So I kind of wanted to have a place for myself, for our family, to have the memories that he couldn't remember anymore. So that was a big process, a big part of the process for me is to keep those memories alive even when he couldn't anymore. So for me, writing was the best way to do it. So that's another reason why this book came about.
So I actually wanted to ask a little bit more about that because as I've been reading your book, I just got to the part where you just got to France. So there's still a lot more to go. And I'm like just fascinated about what comes next. But as I was reading, it feels like there's, in a good way, this kind of obsession with detail. They're like every little piece that you could, you're trying to get down and fit and like to make sure that it's written there. And because if it's there, it'll be solid in a way. And that also felt cathartic for me. My grandfather also had dementia and that was sort of a very difficult thing in the family. So that process and reading your book feels really cathartic and sort of good in the sense that, you know, it feels like you're really trying to get somewhere with keeping a testament to everything that was your father's life and memories. And so can you say more about like what was going through your mind as you were like picking through these memories and putting them down and getting to the level of detail that you were like, okay, this is where it needs to be for the book?
The book takes place in so many different locations. I want to say almost every chapter is like a different country or a different city. I really wanted to embrace that and like his essence of like always wanting to travel and experience new things. So I wanted to bring the detail in with that. Traveling was a huge part of his life. So I wanted the readers to experience kind of like what he experienced as much as I could. So for me, that was describing the places, the locations, what things looked like, what things smelled like, just to get, you know, everybody a feel of like what he experienced. And in a way, I feel like that will help readers understand who he was, you know, the journey that he went through. And yeah, I think for me specifically, a lot of my memories are of my own life. You know, I remember little details and like the smell of certain food will bring back a memory, or, you know, like, I don't know, the way like a certain park looks will remind me of something else. So I wanted to put as much detail into the story as possible, make it really real to readers, and hopefully transport readers into all these different places around the world.
Can you also say more about just the process of like researching and writing the book as you actually got into the project? Because with COVID happening, everything of course gets out of whack. But also, I mean, did you have to call up other family members and go, okay, now's the time to really tell me what you know? Like, what was that like?
A lot of the parts of the book about our family. Yeah, I did speak with one of my cousins and she helped me out with knowing more details, because a lot of the family is a lot older than me. I'm the youngest in the family by a lot. So a lot of my cousins experienced a lot more different events than I did. So I wanted to get more perspective, you know, of stuff that I didn't really know so well firsthand. So I did have some help from some family about like our history and certain characteristics of the people in the book and things like that. And then, of course, this book takes place, you know, starting back in the 1930s, all the way until present time. So there's a lot of different eras in there. So I did a lot of research on like the political situations back, you know, in Haiti and in Egypt when my dad was growing up. And for me, I thought that was really interesting. Before writing this book, I wasn't really too much into history. But then after writing this book, all of a sudden, I really enjoy history now, which is something surprising that came out of this process. I just think it was really fascinating to learn about, especially the history of Jews in Egypt. You know, I just always heard stories from my family, but I didn't really know the extent of like, you know, their experiences in Egypt during that time and how they were ultimately like, you know, pushed out of the country. I just always heard that like, oh yeah, we had to leave Egypt and we're not allowed to come back. But I never knew the reasons behind it or the politics behind it. So I did a lot of research about that. So it really opened my eyes to see like what their generation went through during that period of time and like how they came to the United States and why they hold, you know, like their American citizenship so close because they never had citizenship in Egypt. Things like that that I never thought twice about. Now I really understand it. So it's pretty cool.
I actually wanted to ask more about that as well in terms of, you know, when you're writing this book and just the sheer amount of historical context behind everything, obviously all of the events your dad has been a part of have filled up like bookshelves of historical sort of everything. How did you figure out how to explain it in the book in a way that, you know, a non-Jewish reader would understand? Or how did you sort of boil down that information and get the context right and sort of what you chose to leave in, what you chose to leave out, sort of that kind of thing? How did you approach that?
So one of the things that I really wanted to do was make sure I wasn't writing like a history paper. I didn't want to go in there and say like, oh, the year was 1950 and this was going on in Egypt, that kind of thing. I wanted to show it more in the actions of like the characters. So there's actually a scene in the book where my father's character, Raymond, and his cousin, Albert, go out and they get, you know, harassed because they're Jews in Egypt. So during that time period, something like that might have happened. So instead of explaining that, like, Jews were, you know, being harassed or they weren't able to get jobs, I was showing that in the characters' like development. I didn't want to put too much into it to make it seem like a history textbook, but more like you could see the events playing, you know, the political environment in the country at the time through their like shared experiences. So I wanted to make sure like I added a couple of like crucial scenes in there and make it super detailed so you could feel like the tension and like, you know, Jews as a whole were struggling to like find their place there in Egypt. But yeah, I didn't want to make it like boring to the point that you feel like you're back in high school reading history.
What about, and this may be kind of a boring question, but I ask this because among my friends and I, we sometimes will like read something by an author and there'll be something Jewish in the book and we'll go, wait a second, that's not quite, you know, which is not, your book does a great job of laying out Jewish stuff. But I, on that note, I'm also wondering, like, how did you figure out, you know, what's the best way to explain Jewish normative stuff like the, you know, Rosh Hashanah dinner at the beginning of the book, how to explain the context behind that to readers as well, even though, you know, the Jewish instinct is always to like over explain, here's why Jews are weird and we do this stuff, yeah. You know, but like, so how did you approach that, explaining that part of it in a way that would make sense and be concise in the book as well?
As I was writing it, I kind of had the vision of as if I was somebody who was just dropping into the scene. What would that look like? What would that feel like as if I was experiencing it myself? So not really telling people what the background of Rosh Hashanah is, but what are the customs that we do? You know, they're sitting around a dinner table eating certain foods. So that kind of shows readers like a little bit about the traditions and the customs of the holiday without telling them like, okay, this is, you know, symbolizes this. This is why we eat this. So I really wanted to make it an experience that you can go into, like drop into the scene as if you're there sitting at the dinner table during Rosh Hashanah and you could taste the foods and smell it. So that's why I tried to be a lot more detailed with that kind of stuff. And that was my way of explaining the traditions and the customs of, you know, those kind of holidays. And
with that level of detail, it's also, it seems kind of difficult to, during COVID, when everyone's kind of locked up and in the bubble, to then also be like, here's a bunch of detail about Egypt. How did you go about getting kind of on location, kind of the sights and smells that you needed? I mean, have you been back to Egypt? Have you, you know, walked the same marketplace that your family used to go to? Like what, how'd you balance that kind of research into the book?
So certain locations in the story I haven't been to, including Egypt, actually. It's definitely my number one place to go once like travel restrictions are a little bit better. But certain places in the book I have been to, I traveled with my family to these places. So for the places that I have been to, of course, New York, Hong Kong, London, I was able to use like, you know, my own experiences there to talk about the places and the details of those cities. For the places that I haven't been to, I tried to talk to people that I personally know who have been there. So they kind of helped me out to describe, you know, locations and stuff like that. And also from the stories that my dad always told me, of course, he had been to all of these locations. He spent most of his young adulthood growing up in Egypt. So I always heard about stories from there. So I, even though I've never been there myself, I feel like I could have somewhat of a solid understanding of what it might be like, just because you always talked about it. So it was nice to be able to, while I was writing it, I was able to talk to him still about those places and ask him questions. So it was a nice experience for both of us to like kind of really relive that while I was writing it, especially for him. So that's mostly how I did a lot of my research, was through people who had been there, if I hadn't been there myself.
And as you were writing and researching and putting together the book, did you come across sort of details and aspects of your dad's story that like totally floored you compared to like sort of new elements that gave a whole new, different dimension to everything you knew before? Like any sort of pieces like that over the course of the book?
Yeah, I think mostly that happened during the beginning parts of the book with his history where he was born in Haiti. So I had to do a lot of research about the Jews in Haiti, which is something I'm sure hardly anybody knows that there was a Jewish population in Haiti, especially in the early 1900s. So it was really interesting to do that kind of research and like find out, you know, who was there at the time. So I did some research there and then also more with the history of Jews in Egypt and why, you know, during the 1950s, there was like a rise in nationalism in Egypt. So the Jewish population, the Jewish community was slowly not being able to remain there. I didn't know certain things like the government made it really hard for Jews to find work. So that was kind of a way to get them out of the country. They just physically could not find a job. So they had to look elsewhere. So and things like that, I thought was really interesting. It told me a little bit about his story too, about why he would want to join, you know, aspiring in Cairo at the time, because him and his friends really wanted to kind of protect their community. And at the time, that was the way they knew how to. So, I would say, especially with the spying component of it, because he would only tell me little tidbits here and there. My own research, you know, surprised me with like how extensive it really was.
You know, we've talked a lot about the process of the book, but now that the book is out, I mean, how do you feel now that this sort of, you know, your dad's memories are collected and in this book and out there? What's going through your mind? What has been the response from like your family, for example? I mean, what's that been like?
For my family, everybody has been super supportive about it. Everybody's really happy that I finally did it, that I finally wrote his story, because I've been saying for so long that I was going to. And they think it's really special that they have something, you know, that they could hold in their hands physically. And this is the story of our family. For me, I'm just so happy that I wrote it. It was like a very, I want to say like a therapeutic process for me, because as I was writing it, he was going through the late stages of Alzheimer's disease. So it's nice for me personally just to have it. Every time I want to, you know, remember certain stories that he told me, I can flip open my book and read a little bit about it again. And then I have a son who's 3 years old. So hopefully when he's older, he can read this book and learn about his own family, which is, I think, is pretty cool. So overall, I'm so excited that I finished it. I published it. You know, other people are reading it now. And I think it's so awesome to like just get feedback from people I don't even know. Just, I don't even know how they got a hold of the book. And I'm so excited that they did. So yeah, overall, it's just an amazing process. And I love hearing people's feedback about it.
To ask kind of a weird question, where does your dad's story and after writing this book, where does that leave you in terms of your Jewish identity? Has doing a deep dive on his story changed your relationship to Judaism and sort of the larger story at all for you?
I grew up Jewish, but I was not really, we're not like very religious or anything. So I think doing this kind of research that I did, especially with about like the Sephardic community, it really brought me a lot closer to it. I have a so much better understanding about what they went through at the time. And then also just like, I don't know, certain customs and like understanding why, you know, our community spoke so many different languages at home. You know, I grew up hearing like my aunts and my dad speak a combination of like French, English, and Arabic together. And sometimes Creole, because they were born in Haiti. Growing up, I never thought twice about it. But now that I know the history, I definitely appreciate it a lot more. So I think I feel a lot closer with that part of me, just because I have a better understanding of it now.
I'm also wondering, you know, of course, the book is sort of based around your dad and your dad's family. And I still haven't gotten to the part where he meets your mom. But where, you know, as you were deep diving into your dad's story, did that at all help you come to understand, you know, your mom and her story a little bit better at all? Like, what was sort of to shift the perspective there? How did that feel like in terms of your mom's side?
Yeah, so my mom is from the Philippines, and you'll get to that later on in the story, how they met in Hong Kong, actually. Yeah, it definitely opened my eyes to certain things too. And as I was writing the story, I was asking my mom a lot of questions also. And I think it more so like they're both immigrants from totally different places, and how they came together and created a life together, I think is so awesome. And understanding her side of it too is, not only is she coming from the Philippines to the United States for the first time with my dad, she's also now joining a new family. She grew up Catholic and he's Jewish, and how they combine that together and how she had to learn certain things. Being kosher, not eating pork, is something that she had to learn. Of course, Filipinos love eating pork. So learning that kind of stuff from her, and her telling me little stories about when she came to the United States, I think it's such a cool experience that I was able to do that and write it all down. Yeah, I did find it surprising that I found out a little bit more about her too, even though I was writing mostly about my dad's side of the family.
just to kind of zoom out a little bit. So I first found out about your book when you posted in the Facebook group, Subtle Asian Traits, one of the largest online Asian communities in the world. I'm not Asian, but as an immigrant kid, I love that group because it's a lot of commiserating about being immigrant kids. So I've got two questions for you kind of based on that, starting with number one. What was it like for you posting about the book in the group and your dad's story and seeing the responses that you got? Because just sort of on a rough scroll through, I mean, there were a lot of people who showed up were like, yeah, me too. My dad's Jewish. Mom is something else. Here's the story. And like all of that kind of emerged out of the woodwork. So what was it like for you reading the responses?
It was definitely surprising, like in a good way. I didn't know what to expect when I posted that. And it was like overwhelmingly positive, which was amazing. I think that post got, I don't know, something like 19,000 likes or something, which blows my mind still. But yeah, I think it's surprising how many people are out there wanting to connect over certain things like this, like the immigrant story. I spoke to a couple of girls who were Filipino and Egyptian, and I was like, wow, I've never met anybody who was Filipino and Egyptian. So that was pretty cool to connect with other people like that. Sharing stories with other people about, even if they come from immigrant families who are totally different countries than where my, you know, family is from, there's still a lot of like commonalities there. So I always think it's awesome to hear other people's experiences. A lot of my friends come from immigrant families too. And we always feel like we have a lot of shared experiences, even though some of us come from Asia, some from South America, some from Europe, just how everybody settled in the United States and had similar experiences coming to the United States too. So just, yeah, overall hearing like the comments and people wanting to connect, I was really blown away by that in a good way. And I love talking to people about that kind of stuff too.
So the second question on top of that is, having talked a little bit about sort of your Jewish identity sort of broadly in terms of your dad's side of the family, if you're okay talking about it, how do you keep the balance of your identities as an Egyptian Jewish and Filipino woman and sort of both your mom's and your dad's side as you're both living your own life and, you know, having a family, all the weird, complicated stuff that immigrant kids and different backgrounds sort of go through as we're out in the world? Like, how does that fit together for you?
I think luckily I know a lot of people, especially coming from mixed backgrounds, might struggle with, oh, I'm not, you know, Jewish enough, or, oh, I'm not Asian enough, or whatever the background is. But I feel like luckily for me, I've always embraced both sides of my background. I never had any troubles with like deciding if I wanted to lean more towards one side or the other. I was just really happy being everything that I am. I think my parents did a pretty good job at like teaching me both sides of my cultures, or all sides of my cultures. So it's something that I've always really been interested in learning more about and like visiting where my family comes from. So I think I've been fortunate in that sense that I never struggled with that kind of identity. And if anything, as I'm growing up, I'm even appreciating it even more. It's something that I want to teach my own son because he comes from a lot of different backgrounds too. And it's something that I hope that like, you know, people who somehow stumble upon my posts or read this book will, you know, understand that they can appreciate every part of who they are. They don't have to be forced to say, oh, I want to, you know, pick one side of my family more than the other side. It doesn't have to be like that. You don't have to choose, you know, you are everything that you are and there's nothing wrong with that. So that's something that I really want to like send the message across too.
Also, side note, I'm curious. So you self-publish all your books, or is it just specifically this book that was self-published?
Yeah, I have two books out right now. Both of them are self-published.
What's the process for self-publishing? I'm just sort of both wondering, and then also I think this would be cool to keep as part of the podcast for anyone who's listening and might be interested in writing and sort of following in the same footsteps. Like, how do you self-publish?
The main way like to actually publish and get it out there that I used was through Amazon. It's through a service called KDP. It's totally free to use. So once I was done writing my manuscript, I found a good editor, went through the editing process, got help from a cover designer to do the cover. And then once all of that was completed, I just published it on Amazon. So it's a pretty simple process to do. Anybody can do it. You know, if people want to order the book, they can order it through Amazon. So it's like print on demand, or they can order through Kindle. So I find it a very rewarding process for me because I'm really able to control all aspects of, you know, my book, the cover, the design, all of that. I do it at my own pace. If I want to, you know, spend a year doing it, if I want to spend a month doing it, I can either do it really quickly or take my time. So for anybody who is like looking to self-publish, I would definitely suggest that they look into KDP. There's other ways to do it too, but for me, that's the main way that I'm doing it right now.
So the last question I've got for you is, what's coming next in terms of your writing? Do you have other books in the pipeline? Are you planning to dive back into writing about Jewish history at some point, doing a book about sort of more focused on your mom? What's the big picture after this for you?
I mean, yeah, I would definitely like to work on a story about my mom. I think that would be pretty awesome and totally different from my dad's story. right now, though, I'm working on a book. It's totally different. It's a psychological thriller, actually. It's called The Lies on Their Lips. It's 75% done. So it's in the works. Hopefully I'll have it out, you know, sometime in 2022. Yeah, I'm just going to focus more on, you know, writing more novels. Fiction is kind of where I do the best. So I'm doing fictional things. And yeah, hopefully promoting more of, you know, this previous book and seeing where it goes.
This has been this week's The Jews Are Tired podcast. I'm Lev Gringaus. Don't forget to subscribe and share. And hopefully next week, the Jews will get some rest. The Jews Are Tired is a product of Jewfolk, Inc. For more information, go to tcjewfolk.com or email the show at podcast@tcjewfolk.com. A link to the transcript of this episode is available in the podcast notes, along with links to any news, stories, or reports referenced for this episode.